preparing something. He was investing a lot in my life. And God expects a return on his investment. And I could not have known at the time that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. Many of you are either college students or you're recently out of college. For the most part, everyone here is younger than I am or about my age. Now, there's some exceptions to that rule. I'm not looking at anybody. But if you, what I had to learn, and I went through a period where I thought, okay, Lord, I thought that you were going to use me in some way. I thought that you had a plan. What happened? I mean, I tried to be a good Presbyterian. I tried to be a good Methodist. I tried to be a good Baptist. I said, Lord, where do you want me to be? And then I was sitting in my study early last year, and the thought came to my mind. If somebody were to ask you why you are not Catholic, how would you answer that question? And I wasn't reading anything theological. I was reading something entirely unaffiliated. And I went to my wife and I said, why are we not Catholic? She said, oh, I was waiting on this. She was, her daddy was born in Cuba, so she was familiar with the Catholic Church. But she never pushed it on me. She was not baptized Catholic herself. And so I started reading G.K. Chesterton. I've been reading Chesterton for 15, 20 years. But I'd never read his Catholic stuff because I thought that was just not important. So I read Chesterton's conversion story. I read, I went back and read Peter Kreeft. Peter Kreeft is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I wish I had a chance to meet him. And of course, what's the dude in Steubenville? Scott Hahn. And y'all forgive me, it's about two whiskeys in. And I've been reading all these wonderful people. And then I go to my first mass in Glasgow, Kentucky in August of last year. And I walk in and I smell the incense, the frankincense. I smell this. It smells old. It even smells Catholic. And I look over to my wife and I said, I don't know what the hell to do. She said, just kneel when they kneel and raise when they raise and just follow the crowd. And I did, but when it came to the point of Holy Communion, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that I was face to face with the real presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely no doubt in my mind. And that came after months and months of intellectually trying to convince my heart that Catholicism was wrong. But when you are face to face with the real presence of Jesus at Holy Communion in the Eucharist, it is impossible to say this is not Christ. I heard Peter Kreeft say that, but I didn't believe him until it happened. And so, long story short, I went into a conversation with a local priest and Deacon Bruce Sullivan, who is a convert himself. He and I developed a long conversation. And I told him, I said, what do I need to do to be confirmed? He said, well, you got to go through RCIA. I said, well, I've already read the whole catechism. He said, well, we might be able to push that up a little bit. I went to my first Mass in August, and my wife and I, well, our children were baptized. I got three kids. 5, 4, and 18 months. They were all baptized at St. Helen's Church in Glasgow, Kentucky. And we were confirmed on November 8th of last year. Woo! And so, ever since that point in time, God reminded me of his promise. that he had prepared a ministry for me. I knew that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. I knew there was a calling. And now that this is you young people particularly. You got a calling on your life. It may be 15 or 20 years from now before you see it realized. God's timing is perfect. I think about Moses. Moses was 40 years old, thought he was going to do everything his own way. God put him in the wilderness for 40 more years. He was 80 years old before he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. God had to take him through a period where he could get rid of the arrogance, get rid of the pride, humble him in a situation, put him in a situation where he can be used by the hand of God. And so, every weekend since I have, over the past 4 months, I have been traveling to Catholic universities around this country, to parishes around this country, telling people about the love of Jesus that I have found in the Catholic Church. This country is going to hell in a handbasket. It needs Catholicism. It needs the church. The Protestant faith has failed. It's not working. It's splitting Christianity apart. You cannot have 10,000 different denominations in one country and expect the country to have a stable moral foundation. I see this all over the place, all over the country. People are looking to the Catholic Church for answers. There are literally tens of thousands of young people in the United States right now who are looking for people like you to talk to about your faith. What do you have that they need? You will have an opportunity to tell somebody about the real presence of Jesus in the Catholic Church. Because the opportunity of a lifetime is in the lifetime of the opportunity. Now, what's that got to do with pipe smoking? Nothing. But why do I smoke a pipe? Or, you know, I don't smoke cigars much anymore, but cigars are fine. Y'all have your cigars here, and that's wonderful. But, you know, most of the time when I'm smoking a pipe, it is a time of real contemplation. And it's not simply a period of meditation where you put on your yoga pants. You know? You are actually thinking. I mean, when you pick up a pipe, here's what happens when I pick up a pipe. My family knows, my children know, that when I pick up a pipe, that is daddy's pipe. Don't come tell me how much more apple juice you want. Don't tell me that mama told you to come tell me. No, in my house, there is one cardinal rule. When daddy picks up his pipe, don't mess with it. And there's a reason I say that. There's a reason that's a rule in my house. Because when I light up that pipe, there's something about the tobacco, there's something about the rituals that puts you in a state of contemplation. I can't explain scientifically what is going on. I can't explain in any, you know, technological way why that happens. But it forces you to relax. Not in a chemical way. It just forces you to relax and to think about what you've done right and what you've done wrong. What you've succeeded in during that particular day and where your failures are. And I also love to pray when I have a pipe in my hand. Now, if I had told my mama and daddy, real Pentecostal people, mama, I'm going to go fire up my pipe and pray for a while, it would have been completely foreign to them. But you're not dealing with simply a bowl full of tobacco. You're dealing with an opportunity to ponder, to think. We don't think enough. We live in a country that is intensely motivated by utilitarian ends. Well, I don't have time to smoke a pipe. If I'm going to use tobacco, I'll just have a quick nicotine fix from a cigarette, and that's going to get it done. I don't have time. Time's wasting. God didn't put us on this planet simply to work every hour of the day and not enjoy moments of leisure. Has anybody here ever read Joseph Pieper's work on leisure? Marvelous, marvelous book. He makes a point in there that our life should not be that of simply the workaday man. Now, that's not to say that work is not important. It is. What his point was is that there's more to the human condition and human life than simply striving for an extra dollar. Wealth, at its most important point, is never measured in dollars. It's measured in time spent with your family, time spent with a good bowl of pipe, time spent with a good glass of whiskey, for which I no longer possess. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be long-winded. I just want to let you know it's a privilege and an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's events. Now, you know, I can see what I love about coming to places like this is that you can feel the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord. Have you ever met somebody you never saw before in your whole life? You go up, you shake their hand, and it feels like you've known them forever. Yeah. That is the kingdom of God at work. Amen. And I love it. I love you. I love being here. Thank you for your time. I'll talk to you some more tomorrow.
And now, real quick, Tony.